displaying data on a map can become a problem when you have a lot of data. And you can actually leverage features from Azure Maps for clustering the data. Ricky from the Azure Maps team comes again on the IoT show to tell us everything you need to know about clustering data on maps. Hi, everyone. Thanks for watching the IoT show. I'm Olivier, your host, and today we have Ricky from the Azure Maps team. Ricky, thanks for coming to the show again.
Well, thanks for having me.
So today we'll talk about something which is pretty interesting with Maps, one of the many capabilities. Maps is about visualization of maps. It's also about things that are happening in the back. Today we're talking about clustering data, right?
Right.
So when we think about IoT scenarios, because I like to put things around IoT scenarios, it's called the IoT show after all, right? Mm-hmm. Potentially, you have lots of data you want to show. Right? You want to have any device that actually shows on a map with its own data set, data point, whatever. You can have millions of devices showing up.
Right, yeah. And one of the big issues developers often come across is they have all these things they want to show on a map, and sure, our map control can handle large data sets, but you get it on there and you realize that you have so many pins on the map, you can't even see the map.
Exactly.
And half the pins are hidden by other pins.
Yeah.
And so you want to make that more usable and more navigable. So, you know, when you're zoomed out and you're looking at the whole world, you don't need to see every individual pin. You just want to know, okay, where's my group of pins? And so that aggregate is known as clustering.
Clustering, that's the name of that thing. So there's, I guess, different methods for doing that. From the developer's perspective, the idea is to simplify developers' life for them not to have to think about it and give
Correct.
Them options, some knobs to configure all of that. So how's it done in Azure Maps? And show me that.
Well, let's start off with just taking a look at the whole concept of clustering. So if we switch to the computer here, we can see a typical example. I think this is actually shipwrecks.
Okay.
So tons of shipwrecks all over North America. And
on the coast.
Yeah, along the coast. Well, actually, some of them are on lakes.
In lakes as well.
Sure. We see a lot in the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
But the so one of the basic algorithms, or there's a lot of different algorithms for clustering, but one basic one is called grid-based clustering.
Okay.
Where essentially you take the map, you break it up into a grid, and then you count the number of pins in each grid cell.
Okay.
And that's your size of your cluster.
Pretty straightforward.
And then you can go through and you pick a point inside of that grid to be the where you want to put your cluster. Could be the average location, could be just the center of the cell.
Okay.
And then now we get our clusters inside of each cell. And then finally, we remove that. Normally the grid doesn't show up. That's just for demonstration.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah,
useful, because the result you're seeing here is actually way more understandable and digestible for a human eye.
Right, and then as you zoom in, this gets recalculated, and you'll end up with a different set of clusters. The clusters will break apart, and when you zoom in close enough, there won't be any more clusters. You'll see the individual pins.
Okay. Love it.
Yeah, so a bit of interesting history about this. So the grid-based algorithm is an older one. There's a lot of newer things here. But 12 years ago, I was contracted by Microsoft to write some interesting articles on how to use maps. And so this was one thing I was experimenting with. I ended up writing an article for MSDN on how to do grid-based clustering and made all the code open source as an article on MSDN, because that's how we did it back then.
Yeah, 12 years ago, open source on MSDN.
And it ended up making its way into a bunch of the Microsoft mapping platforms and actually ended up making it out into the community platforms, such as Leaflet, and even some of our competitor mapping platforms out there, too.
Nice.
As time went on, the community took over and made it a lot better. It made a lot more improvements. And now today, we actually use an open source library called the Supercluster.
What goes around comes around.
So that initial payoff of handing off something to the community has come back, and we got something that was better, which is great.
The baby is no longer, is a grown-up now, right?
Right.
Awesome.
So let's take a quick look at how to actually, map and how to actually do this. Mm-hmm. So as we can see here, we have a map with some clusters similar to before. As I zoom in, these clusters will break apart into smaller and smaller bits until I get the individual ones.
Okay.
Inside of Azure Maps, in this example here, we're going to pull in we're pulling in data from earthquake feeds from the past month.
Okay.
In Azure Maps, one of the main ways to bring in data, GeoJSON data, is you take it and you put it into what we call a data source. That manages all the data inside the map for you.
Okay.
And it does all the heavy lifting. And one of the options in there is a cluster option. And so we can see this here right in the code.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. With that, there's a bunch of other clustering options, such as the radius. So this is using, instead of a grid-based a method, it uses, it takes the first point, does a radius, and puts everything inside of that cluster, and then takes the next unclustered point and does it again.
Oh, okay.
So slightly different algorithm, but very same end goal.
Do you have like rules on which method to use versus another one?
So we only use the one. The grid one is nice and fast, but the final layout isn't always great.
Okay.
Whereas the point-based one is a little bit more compute, but it always looks a lot better.
Got it. Okay, makes sense.
And so that's what we prefer. And so we can go through, set the radius, you can even set a maximum zoom level, because if you have two points that are like right next door to each other, you have to zoom in really close before they'll actually separate.
Yep.
And so you might say, I don't care if they overlap a little bit. So let's say, once we hit zoom level 15, just turn off clustering.
Okay. And got it, yep.
Yeah, and so that's what we do. And so we simply just set these options on the data source. Everything else you would do normally with Azure Math for rendering stays the same. One thing that you would probably want to do is render clusters differently.
Okay.
And so in this example here, I use a bubble layer, and I'm using some expressions to scale the size based on the number of points inside the cluster, and also to change the color based on the number of points inside the cluster. And so there's this point count, which is one of the properties of a cluster.
Pretty straightforward. You realize that people will actually just use your sample here to do
copy paste, that's the beauty. It's all of this is on GitHub. Right.
Once again, 12 years from now, you'll see your code coming back.
It'll be even better. So in this example, I was using scaled circles, but you can use any of the rendering capabilities inside of Azure Maps. So here's an example doing clustering using symbols, icons.
Yeah.
And so we see these the triangles representing the number of or our cluster, and the circular things are individual earthquakes in this case.
Okay.
Some other interesting things. So you might, clusters represent an area, and so you sometimes you want to know what is that area or where what's that general area. And so I have this sample here where you can hover over different points, and it calculates an area.
Okay.
What this essentially is doing is taking all the points of that cluster and calculating what's called a convex hull. So a convex hull, basically, you take an elastic band, stretch it around your data, and that's your polygon.
Got it.
And so it's actually quite simple to implement. So in this case here, I've set up a mouse over event that calls this function here called display cluster area.
Okay.
I grab my shape out of that event, and then with the data source, we have some methods that we've exposed for getting access to that raw data. So you go through and for clusters, you can pass in the ID of the cluster and say get the cluster leaves.
Okay.
And so that basically gets all the children. From there. That will be like has a callback because it's an intensive calculation sometimes, and it'll return back all the shapes or all the points in that cluster.
Love that. Yeah.
From there, if there's only two points, we don't want to. We don't even need to calculate. We just draw a line because. Yeah. But if there's more than two points, then we can use the get convex hull function of our math library, which is built into Azure Maps, and simply pass those points in. That generates our polygon, and we just add it to the data source and we're done.
Love it. One thing I want to point out is, once again, because it's a PaaS service, calculations are happening in the back end. So you kind of have a client, which is the browser and the machine it's running on, which is pretty poor in terms of CPU and others. Because Maps is actually powered by the cloud, you would actually have that interaction with that map, even on a poorly featured and limited hardware client.
Yeah,
you actually have the same result in terms of the comfort of the UI, the information, and so forth, right?
Yeah, so in this example here, I'm using the library that's built into our web SDK, so this is happening locally, but we do have a set of services for doing these same calculations in the cloud.
Yeah, but the data actually is in the cloud itself, right? So you have some calculation happening locally, but lots of it is actually happening in the cloud as well.
So let's take a look at another example. So this is a newer feature that we expose. So you have your clusters again, but in this case here, this is clusters of points of interest, and it's a mix of one of four different types. And so what I've done is we have this thing called cluster aggregates.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, you have a cluster, you want to do some kind of calculation or with the data inside of it. Maybe you want to calculate the total revenue of all the things inside. Well, the best time to do that calculation is when the cluster is being calculated, because you're doing one loop over the data. If I had to do it later, then now I'm doing a second loop over the data. And so, I can do this in line and say in the data source, also calculate this while you're doing the clustering. And so in this case here, if I click on one of the clusters, We're just seeing a pop-up that lists the number of points of interest mm-hmm. and of each type, so the, okay. of the four types. So we got gas stations and things like that. And so if we take a quick look, here we are again at the data source. We got a cluster, and yeah. I've modified my radius for whatever reason, didn't need to be. But we introduced this thing called cluster properties, and you can go through and define an object where the key is whatever I want it to be. In okay. this case here, I'm just using the entity names. But then we use a data-driven expression to do our math. Mm-hmm. And so we have that a whole other video on how to do expressions and tons of documentation.
Yep, yep.
But the idea here is I'm looking for the entity type property of each point, checking to see if it, in this case, is a gas station. If it is, I then take my aggregate, which is gas stations again, mm-hmm. And add one to it.
Yep.
Otherwise, I add zero.
Okay. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and so this here, these calculations will happen every for each cluster as it's being built.
Okay.
And so as I pan and zoom in, all that's already being done. I don't have to do all these again. And additionally, as I go down, you know, I want to go through and show that in that pop-up. Well, let's go here. We click the cluster. So now if I go into the cluster, I have the properties. Mm-hmm. And then there's a bunch of properties that come out of there. But there's also another property, which all the properties I added, our mm-hmm. cluster properties, will also be properties of that as well. And so I'm doing just a for each on those properties here, on the entity types, and just creating some HTML to list that all out. Just makes it right there, so I don't have to do any calculations on the fly. It's all done for me.
Nice.
Another interesting way to use cluster aggregates is create a pie chart.
Wow.
And so now we've got a really interesting thing, and I'm using actually SVG with the mouse overs for each slice. And so I'm using an HTML marker to render each pie. And so now it's fully interactive, and I get a ton of data. So I got the number of points in mm-hmm. that cluster. I can see the data for each individual metric. And as I zoom in, this data here will also update.
Nice.
And so it's a really nice data visualization to see a lot of data yeah. on the map and get a lot of insights without having to manually do a lot of work.
You're stealing my words. I was about to actually point out that once again, the notion is not just to display data somewhere, right? It's
right.
actually to allow for the user to extract insights rapidly. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you have to take action on these data as a user, or you need to not spend hours actually deciphering or trying to understand what's going on. So this typically is the kind of things that you would expect as a user to get. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we kind of make it simpler for developers to deliver that kind of result.
Yeah, and again, it all comes back to the power of the community.
Yes.
You know, being able to reuse the libraries that are already out there. And
it takes 12 years,
though. There's been a lot of improvements over the time, over sure. years, and more things get added. And so this is, you know, it's just helps us do development faster and be able to get these things out to customers faster, too.
I love it. Thanks, Ricky.
Thank you.
So if you want to learn more about clustering in Azure Maps, you go to aka.ms/IoTShow/maps-clustering, in one word. Awesome. Ricky, thanks again for another great IoT Show episode about maps.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Looking forward to see you again soon.
Great.
Well, thanks for watching the IoT Show. See you soon.